Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 236 of Beyond the Supernatural. Yesterday we talked a little bit airily about brain burrowers. These are creatures, eel-like, weird tentacles. It burns a hole in your skull, then it crawls inside, then it starts to eat your brain, then it gets full, it pats its little eel tummy, and then it just kind of drives you around for a while, like 96 hours, just kind of mind controls you, does fun human stuff. Then at that point, it loses psychic control over you, so it starts eating the rest of your brain. Then when it finishes your brain, it leaves. From the burrower's perspective, as we discussed yesterday, this is pretty simple and honestly seems like a ton of fun. Sadly, there is no playable brain burrower RCC. We're stuck with the paranormal investigators of Beyond the Supernatural, who are going to encounter the brain burrower in a hostile situation. As we discover on today's page, brain burrowers are typically under the control of some kind of evil intelligence, some kind of antagonist that's going to direct them to do evil things, that's probably going to use them for their distinctive mind control ability to perform some kind of service for them, like to mind control somebody to, you know, go betray their friends or get past a retinal scanner or whatever, like all the different things you can do when you possess a body. Not fun stuff, like we talked about yesterday, boring evil stuff. As a result, as a paranormal investigator, when you find a brain burrower inhabiting a body, you're going to have to figure out what to do about it. It's the classic problem. The person who's in there is probably an innocent or a player character. A player character or an innocent, the two categories of human beings we don't kill without qualm. You don't want to hurt the host, but you need to take care of the burrower because it's under the control of an alien intelligence or whatever, whatever dark master it has. And I'll tell you up front that the dumbest thing on this page is I'm not real thrilled with any of the options for handling the brain burrower. Because, like, fair fucks to the brain burrower concept. When a worm burns its way into your skull and starts eating your brain, real high stakes have been set. This is dramatic storytelling. Somebody's brain is getting eaten. We gotta move quick. We gotta act decisively. Where is this story going? Sadly, though, the rules on this page for where that story is going are just kind of all over the place. They're a little bit scattershot. Let's talk about the ways this can go down. First of all, very simple. Brain burrowers are not very tough. They've got an average of like 11 points of damage they can sustain before they die, which is, you know, it's a lot for a 6 to 8 inch worm. I mean, for a 6 inch worm to survive being sliced by a katana once is pretty impressive. And statistically, that's likely to happen. A katana typically only does like 10.5 damage. So this is a sturdy ass worm. But in terms of the kind of damage player characters are dealing out and the fact that the brain burrower, when you encounter it, is likely to be in somebody's body, it doesn't, you know, if you decide to just throw a grenade at the host of a brain burrower, then that burrower is pretty well done for once the body is dead. So that's one simple, pretty unsatisfying way of handling this. Just decide, you know what, the host is done for. They've already had a worm eating their brain for an hour before it got bored and decided to start joyriding them. So whatever, like let's cut our losses. If your players decide to do that, and if you understand the threat of the brain burrower and who it's working for, they very well might. There's no real challenge here. I mean, the brain burrower has certain psionic powers described on this page, but they're mostly ways to hide and function from inside a skull, right? Which is quite a trick. So like the brain burrower has telepathy, mind block, mind bond, death trance, alter aura, all stuff for hiding and communicating. Its only real external power is ectoplasm, which, I mean, we know about ectoplasm. It can be satisfying to smack somebody in the face with ectoplasm, but it's more to make a point. You're not really winning any fights smacking people around with ectoplasm, nor would a brain burrower. So yeah, the physical fight route is pretty unsatisfying. I mean, granted, the brain burrower has control of the capacities of its host, so I guess it can fight you just like a regular person would, but that's not too exciting either. There are some other options for dealing with the brain burrower. There is exorcism, which as soon as you start exorcising a brain burrower, it paralyzes it, and then if you succeed in the exorcism, then the brain burrower has to leave the body before it can do any more damage. Exorcism is one of the better options dramatically because there is some prep, like you got to do, you know, your 30 minutes of prep time or whatever, and then you got to do a period of, you know, the power of whatever compels you, get out of that brain. It's weird for an exorcism to end with an actual worm just giving up and being like, whatever, whatever, and crawling out of somebody's mouth. Fine, fine, you win. But, you know, it's satisfying enough. I mean, it's gross to have a worm crawl out of a mouth. So, okay, that's a payoff. On a really successful exorcism, a monster just goes right back to its home dimension, which I guess a brain burrower has. So I guess it just disappears and everybody assumes that it was some badass demon or something and not an actual worm. The thing is, the brain burrower doesn't, like, have really any way to fight back against an exorcism. I don't think there's an exorcism scene here, because if the person is bound, like the host person, I don't really see what the brain burrower does about this except just wait for the exorcism to be over and hope that the psychic healer botches it. I mean, they could try to fight back with ectoplasm, but why bother? These little wispy tendrils of barely tangible whatever. I mean, you could like knock something over as a distraction, but then what? Form a little ectoplasm finger and poke the exorcist in the eye? Hope they get frustrated? It's pretty feeble. Another tack to take is psychic diagnosis. This will tell how much of the brain burrower has eaten. It'll show that there's a brain burrower there. And the healer power psychic purification will make it leave the host body for a bunch of ISP, for like 16 ISP. That's pretty good. I don't know. Like, to me, psychic diagnosis and purification, that's more for like cleric stuff. You know, like somebody got poisoned or, you know, you run into an NPC who's got some disease or illness that they need dealt with and you take care of it. And that's like just a thing that happens as the plot moves forward. It's sort of like character building. I don't really want to see a plot resolved with like, all right, we've captured the saboteur. Let's do a diagnosis. Looks like you got brainworms. I cast remove brainworms. Done. This is kind of an anticlimax. Now, the one that I do like, although it is definitely dumb, like it has the potential to be a very silly scene, but I think a fun one, if you're a little tongue-in-cheek with your brainworm here. Psychic surgery, which is where you like reach into somebody and do surgery on them, physically like move their guts around, just like reach in and fix them with your hands. You can use psychic surgery to pull a brainworm out of somebody's head. But the thing is, this does no harm to the brainworm. It just takes them out of the head. So it says here, quote, "The brain burrower is not incapacitated and may try to burrow deeper, deliberately do more damage to the victim, and or bite the psychic healer trying to remove it." This is my favorite one, because there are still stakes. There's still a quarter to half-eaten brain in that head, and the brain burrower wants to get back to it and punish this hubris the psychic healer has shown by trying to remove the brain burrower with psychic surgery. So the psychic surgeon, you know, does this little like rub my hands together thing and like reaches into the patient's head and pulls out this gross worm with tentacles hanging off it. And then the worm is like, "Fuck you, buddy." And like bites him on the wrist and tries to climb back into the head. And everybody's got to gather around and like try to grab this slippery little brain worm. That's fun. That's the ideal resolution to this scenario. Because dramatically it's goofy as hell. But at the same time, if that's your player character who was possessed, you're sitting there, your character's in a coma. Your brain is like 40% eaten. 11% more on the GM is for sure going to make you make a new character. So you're just sitting there, hoping against hope that worm doesn't get back into your brain. And you're hanging on the results of every die roll, right? Because there's this like slippery eel. It's not like a regular combat. It's not just like, let's whittle away its hit points. It's like, it's a slippery eel. It keeps trying to jump back into the hole in this person's head. It's like trying to catch a greased pig. Only pigs have like limbs. They've got grabbing points. An eel is 100% slidey surface. How do you even stop a slippery eel from getting back into a head? Especially in close quarters like this, without hitting your allies, including maybe your ally whose brain has been partially eaten. And the brain burrower is being vindictive too. It's biting your hands. It's trying to squirm away. It's full, maybe, but it's going to try to eat that brain just to be a dick. So I like this outcome, but it's definitely dumb. It's like a comedy horror ending to your brain burrower story. The more like dumb thing on this page is the outcome for the host. What it says is, you know, you'll suffer minimal damage if the brain burrower is stopped in the first hour after it starts eating your brain. Which, fine, like I understand, it's the very beginning. Maybe the brain burrower is delicate at first. It does want to joyride you after all, so maybe it's very selective. After that though, the rules for having your brain eaten are shockingly generous. If you have any amount of your brain eaten under one third, there's zero chance that your character becomes unplayable. The consequences are surprisingly minor. All your skills take a minus 30%, you're minus 1 on perception rolls, you reduce your IQ by 2 points, your ME and MA by 1d4 points each, and you roll once on the random insanity table. Or you can roll for a phobia, and it says here, if you do that, your phobia will probably be of worms. Which makes sense, but honestly, I would roll it. Just because I'd love for my character's dark backstory to be like, my mind, my body, they were taken over by an alien being. It got into my skull, into my brain. It ate parts of me. My mind has never been the same. For example, it ate the part of my brain responsible for being okay with boats. I hate boats now. My God, you've lost your suspension of boat hate? Your path has been a dark one. But I mean, considering you may have had 29% of your brain actually eaten, like nearly a third of your brain mass is actually gone, that's not too bad. I mean, minus 30% is a lot for your skill penalties, but other than that, you're really getting off the hook. Like, if you're a combat character, what the fuck do you need mental affinity for? Unless you get a particularly bothersome phobia, you could basically go back to work the next day after getting 29% of your brain eaten. That's pretty impressive. If it's 30% to 50%, those penalties are doubled, and it says that you may have to retire the character. And they're going to have holes in their memory, too. But maybe not. You can have up to 50% of your brain eaten per these rules and pretty much be okay. I mean, you won't be good at your skills anymore, but I mean, who's good at their skills? It's Palladium. You'll have a low IQ, which has no mechanical effect, a low ME and MA, which has little to no mechanical effect, and so you'll have lost some memories. Maybe if you're lucky, the memory of getting your brain eaten by a worm. This would not be a bad outcome for somebody who got half their goddamn brain eaten. Over 50% is fatal. And the timing on that is weird because, you may recall from yesterday, within 1 hour of starting to eat your brain, the burrower eats 20 to 25% of it. Then it stops to ride you around. That lasts for 96 hours. After that point, it starts eating your brain again and you go into a coma. If we assume that this thing can eat a fifth to a quarter of a brain in 1 hour, it's weird that it takes it an additional 12 hours to eat the remaining 75 to 80% of the brain. But I guess it does because that's what it says here. It takes 12 hours. So if you look at the rate on that, like for the last 12 hours, you're eating generously 80% of a brain. It takes you 12 hours to do. That means you're eating around 6.6 repeating percent of a brain per hour. So if we're starting at 20% eaten after the 96-hour joyriding period, after one more hour, you're at a 26.6% eaten. Then 32-33-something percent eaten. After 2 hours of being in the coma, you're already right around that one-third mark. After 5 hours, you're definitely gonna die. But then there's like another 7 hours of just the worm methodically eating the brain. You're comatose, you can't recover, most of your brain is gone, but the brain burrower just needs to finish up, right? It just needs to eat. It's like all the joie de vivre is gone, all the culinary gusto is gone. Long past are the hours when the brain burrower is having fun, driving the car, honking the horn, calling your friends on the phone. Mind control is done, psychic link is done, it's just an eel in a skull eating a dead brain for like 7 more hours. And if the player character should find it during that time, like what are you going to do? I mean, the worm can't really fight you. I guess it could leave. I guess it could crawl out of the skull and try to crawl away. That's not going to work. It's too slow. It's got no effective combat powers. Best case scenario for it is you don't have the medical or psychic skills to determine that the host can't be saved. And so you take the whole body over your shoulder and take it to an expert. And while you're getting there, it's able to finish the brain and then like maybe look for an opportune moment to slip out of the skull and hide out and wait for later. As a climax to an adventure, it's just not great. It's sort of the fail state. It's like if you don't find the person soon enough to save them, then you find what is basically like a corpse with a little bit of brain left in it and a eel rooting around in there. Might be a good way to start an adventure though. Finding a body, like a mysterious corpse that unbeknownst to you has a brain burrower in it. And then when you're checking out the corpse, the burrower comes out and tries to grab somebody. That gives you a little clue for handling it later, but that only defers the question of what the climax of the adventure is. So overall, I guess the dumbest thing on this page is like, there's no big finish, really, except for psychic surgery, which is like one power, and it's a very goofy, like comedy horror finish, which I do appreciate, but it won't be the normal case. You need to have a psychic healer in the group with that specific power, and it's only good if you're using the monster for comedy. Having the brain burrower have some kind of like special attack or at least something big and flashy that it can do if it is pulled out of the skull where it wants to be, would go a long way toward making this monster more usable. But overall, honestly, I'm a fan of the brain burrower. I don't have any big complaints. The psychic surgery finish is probably the one I'd use in the campaign. And I'm just so fascinated by the idea of, as we talked about last time, what an animal intelligence does with control of a human body and human emotions and memory in snippets, that just exploring that, it's fun enough for me. And what the fuck do I want? Realistic brain damage rules? No, definitely not. Especially not from Palladium. Join me next time when we turn to probably the most sex-oriented monster in this book, next to the Boshala, and curiously discuss fistfighting them, not fucking them, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Megadumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.